Hello, welcome to another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm good. We're a little different today, Sal.
A little bit different today. We're not in the boardroom or the podcast room. We're at Little York Stockyard, but we're with an old friend, Ryan. Thanks for having us out here today.
Yeah, it's great to have you guys here at United Producers. We couldn't get our time straight today, and being sale day, and you said, hey, I'll just come out, and I said, all right, that's awesome. So that's where we're at today. Good sale today.
We got to start off with the question of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just because we're off site.
Yeah.
Hey, we're in Ryan's podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, what's an indispensable tool that you couldn't live without?
I tell you what, I feel a little bit skeptical on this here, but, one tool that I couldn't live without is something that one of my good friends told me about 4 or 5 years ago. And I tell you what that tool is. I wake up every day and I think about it. And whenever I'm with my friends, I think about it. When I'm at business, I think about it. And that tool is how to separate business from personal.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you what, that's one of the hardest things that I come into, because I take pride in everything. You remember back in the basketball coaching times, we'd maybe want to, tell those girls that we needed to do something, but we had to, remember that they was just little girls, and they wasn't NBA players.
Third grade.
But I think the biggest thing that I take in effect is just separating business from personal. And, like today we're all business and this here, but, we're dealing with the farmer's money and their livelihood. And some of them, some today might be the day that one farmer sells and cashes everything for the whole year. And,
oh my God.
And, he may not sell no more until next year at this time. So, we have to take in consideration that, we do this for a business and everything's not worth equal prices. And then you got to take in also consideration that, whenever we're out and about and we see each other at the pizzeria or at the McDonald's, we're going to say hi and shake hands and be social. So, like I say, that's just one thing that I thought was my biggest tool that I use every day.
Yeah, Jeff, what you got?
I like Ryan's. That's a good one, and it's hard because we're friends with the people we work with.
Yeah, that's right.
And so this whole industry, I get that, but I'd say the one tool I can't live without is my iPhone. To it.
Yeah, you was on it in your truck.
Yeah.
Jeff's mobile. Wherever his truck is, that's where his office is.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's if somebody calls on my office line, I know it's probably a spam call or a salesman that doesn't
help. Yeah, that's right. I think I'll drill down a little farther. Mine's a calendar function, and I have got everything. If it's not in there, it doesn't happen.
So
I figured you'd say OneNote, Sal.
Yeah, well, that's another one. That's a close second. Yeah.
And isn't it funny? Like a phone we've always had, the calendar we've always had, but it's just the technology.
Yes, same thing, right?
And then, yeah, it's great.
So, Ryan, tell us what's going on here.
So right now we're live out here at the sale barn. We're selling our slaughter bulls. These are bulls that the farmers are done with. There you can see one in the ring right now, a good black bull. He's weighing, 1,900 and some pounds. We'll see what he brings here in a second and know where he goes. But we get a lot of farmers done with their bulls. They bring them in here. We offer them for sale to buyers. We have packer buyers there that's going to about the second or third row. Those guys there will put load lots together from their orders from different various stations. We get packers from Nicholas Meats, which is in Pennsylvania. We get JBS, which is in Plainwell and Sauterton. Cargill, which is in Pennsylvania. Heartland Beef there just opened up there in Missouri. We got them guys representing the day. So
about a 7 hour, 8 hour, 10 hour drive.
Yeah, so
radius,
so right? A lot of those cows will actually, being today, it's kind of a hot day here in Southern Indiana, low on numbers on bull and cow numbers. So they probably won't finish a load today, but with tomorrow, wherever they go to on their Wednesday sales, they'll put those two loads together and have enough to go out and then have enough to go out to process. And, those animals will probably go out for more towards the Wednesday night, Thursday, and then they'll get processed on Thursday to Friday at wherever they're going to, whatever plant purchase those.
And you're set up. Every one of those pens has waters in them and hay.
Yeah, so when they come in, actually, we put them in stack alleys over to the side of the barn. We'll show you here later on. But we put them in stack alleys, and those are kind of overnight pens where we kind of store them. People can bring them in the day before all day long, and then we shut down of a night, and then we open back up early in the morning and let people come in and bring them in. But one of the big things that we do is when we get them through the sale ring, we try to put them on feed and water to get them back in circulation, because we don't want those things to set off water for too long. I think it's 90-some degrees here today, or at least the high 80s. But like I say, it's one of those things, we want to keep food and water in front of these things at all possible. At the minimum, we hold them off for 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah.
How many bulls you got selling today?
So I think there was somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 12 bulls that was in here that would be in here for today's sale. And like I say, they're going to range a good yielding bull, one that's got a lot of muscle to it, a lot of neck, a lot of shape to it, I guess you might say. It's not so much, I tell these farmers every week, it's not so much what your bull weighs, it's what he looks like. So in common knowledge, if your bull looks like a normal person or a bodybuilder, he's gonna bring more money than if he looks just real skinny and thin, you know, and that's where obviously there's less meat on a thinner one than there is a more muscular type one. So the one thing we do encourage is everybody to bring them the night before, and that way we get some shrink on them, because if they do have that belly, a bull can lose 100 to 150 pounds overnight.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's the swing of the weight. It would be 100 to 150 pounds it could lose just coming off a pasture, off of feed bin or something like that. So quite a big spread that thing can drop overnight. And when the prices these bulls we're selling now are bringing from 190 to 222 to 205. So, you know, like I say, that 150 pounds at $2, you can do the math on that.
Yeah, right.
And that's, that's just money down the drain.
Huh. Golly.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like a lot of these bulls are coming in pretty good shape. It's like these guys are pulling them off the cows.
Yeah,
back up a little bit.
For the most part, I think a lot of our region down through here has got a lot of rain, and throughout the first part of the year, anyway, we come off of really good grass, come off really good hay. I don't know about you guys, but I know in our neighborhood here, we kind of got into that latter part of April and the first part of May, and it was still raining. A lot of people, some people didn't even get a crop out. Some people just couldn't get their hay up in time. People I know putting their first cutting hay up in the first part of June and maybe even into the first part of July. And then all of a sudden the water works shut off and we got dry. So, right now we're recording this at the end of September, first October. The thing you're looking at now is grass salvage. How much can you save your grass? So like this bull here, if we're probably not going to use him again until next May or June, it really doesn't pay us to keep him out there with the cows, because he's not, you know, he's probably in the prime of his life as far as his muscle shape and his pattern. But, on some of these here that we get in, they're a little skinnier and thinner. You could maybe put some weight on those during the winter, but it's, you know how it is. Whenever it's 0 degrees, the wind's blowing and there's a hay bale there, they don't gain too much weight. So, you know, it does, but you know, right now is the perfect time to get in your cow herds and look at your cows and your bulls. Check and see what you got going as far as do you have enough grass? Are you going to have enough grass? Are you going to have enough hay? Do you not have enough hay? So it's just a catch 22 of what you can do.
That's what people don't think about, how much it costs to keep them over the winter.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, like an average cow cost right now is about $700 to $800 a head to keep a cow. So you know, if that bull, he's not doing anything and you're not going to use him again until next spring, then probably I'll just go ahead and get rid of him.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, right now, I read before we got here that the inventories are like a 72 or 75-year low.
Yeah.
What's that going to mean for building the inventory back up?
The big question that is around is just what you said. And you know, it's no secret to the general public of the United States that cattle numbers are low, and you know, the threat of maybe, beef numbers being smaller is out there. But I'll tell you what's happening is on our fed cattle markets, we sold those earlier today, and that's what we usually, me and you tease about each other, say every podcast about how high they was and then how, and you know, they keep getting higher. Those things are kind of plateaued out, but you know, they're plateaued out at like 235 to 240. You know, they did get up to 260. I see them 266 or 7 in some of our markets in northern Ohio.
Wow.
But just in general, like those prices are unbelievable. And when you're talking that, you're talking $4,000 to put something in your freezer.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's that's just something that's unheard of, you know. I mean, if I can pretty well, I know, especially on your deal, you know, 5 years ago, we'd probably put them in for $1,500 a head, and maybe another $400 for the processing. So, you know, we was comfortable at the $1,500 to $2,000, and now we're talking $4,000. That frightens a lot of people.
Yeah.
So with that, I guess, you know, the numbers, and getting back on that topic, the fed cattle market, we're processing bigger cattle. The hot carcass weight, that's basically the hooves and the hair and everything knocked off of it and hanging there, chilled in there, and the plant, you know, those animals, hot carcass weights up over 1,000. You know, the live weights are up in the 1600s on an average across the United States. So, you know, we're talking years, you know, 4 or 5, 6 years ago, we wasn't very far off of, you know, butchering a 1,200 or 1,300 pound calf. And now a lot of these packers are buying them in the West and the feedlots at 1,500, 1,600 pounds. So, you know, we're losing some numbers, but we're gaining product on just poundage. But, you know, that's one of those things that, you know, we don't think about as far as the general public out here about what happens in the West with the numbers. But on cow-calf population, you know, to go on with your number, there's not a lot of farmers keeping anything back as of early last year. Now I think that I've seen this fall that there's going to be a lot more farmers keep heifers back. I know there's some people around here that's starting to keep more heifers back or something like that, simply because the cows are worth so much to slaughter as well. We'll get into cows here in just a few head, but you know, that cow that's coming in here that's worth $1,800 to $2,300, and the calf that's coming in here that's you know, 400 or 500 pounds is worth, you know, $1,600 to $1,800. So you've seen a lot more people say, okay, well, let's just sell the old cow, we'll keep the heifer back. If this thing does crash, if this thing does have a bad thing happen to it, we're still covered with a young animal.
Yeah.
And we got rid of our old animal at a great price. So I think that's kind of the mindset of most farmers right now on the beef side of it. But we are experiencing a low. Our numbers here, where we're at, sitting in Little York, Indiana, our numbers have decreased this year slightly. They haven't decreased a lot compared to some of the other places that we have or places that we deal with. But our numbers have decreased some. And it's just a testimony of just the farmer age. We're getting older farmers.
Yeah.
They're selling out. I've had 4 herd dispersals here that I know of, and just locally around us, that people have sold out. And so it's just one of those things about getting the numbers back up, if they can afford to get the numbers back up. So like I said earlier, these cows, it's costing $2,200 to $2,300 just to go to market and, you know, become food for the United States. Is also, you know, there's a cow out there that's got a baby inside of her that we could take back home, and we're selling that cow for, you know, $3,000 to $3,500.
Wow.
And so, and then a cow-calf pair could be worth $3,500 to $4,500. That's a lot. I mean, you think 2 cows and calves running out in your field cost $10,000.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people that just think, hey, hang on a second. Now we got to back up. We ain't got the money. You know, the cash flow. I mean, how much is cash flow? I mean, you can only put so much in and take so much out. It still costs a lot to feed them. Even though corn's cheap, it still costs a lot to feed them. So, and then the time to do it. So, you know, it's kind of like the big grain farmer in a way. Unless you got somebody to help you or back you up, I don't know that there's going to be very many new people come in to the beef market the way the prices are.
Yeah.
Be hard to start up today with these markets if you wanted to go out there and build a cow herd.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to be paying a premium. You better hope it keeps some legs under for a while.
Right. And I was, and just to throw something out there to put it in perspective, I know there's a lot of grain farmers that listen to this, but I was on TikTok the other day, our famous TikTok that we watch when we're bored and not doing anything, right? So anyways, watching on there, and it said something like it costs, you'd have to sell 60 some loads of corn to equal one load of 550 pound steers.
No,
that's the equal amount of dollars. So if you grain farmers are out there, every 60 loads, that's one load of 550 pound steers.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So when we're driving down the road, we see a pasture out there and all those pretty cattle, we have no idea how much money.
And it's amazing. You know, I had the misfortune, lost a cow not one of my most valuable cows that I have on my farm, but lost one there a couple weeks ago. And you know, the whole time you're, you know, going and getting her and thinking about what you're going to do and this, all this other stuff, and we're going to bury her. And you're sitting there thinking, man, I just lost $2,000.
Oh.
I just lost $2,000. Like, and I didn't have any way of preventing it.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's, and you know, like the guy sitting here in the cell ring today, you know, you get a calf coming into October. October is not a very notorious month for being the best calf month. It's actually the worst calf month that you can get because of the health. Another scenario I'll give you, when you're sitting in front of your combine yesterday, combine and beans, and you couldn't see in front of you,
yeah.
You couldn't see that 40-foot head in front of you, and you just hoped there wasn't nothing there. All that dust settles in the air, the pollution, you know, the pollination. It's in the air, stuff like that. You know, them calves are breathing out of a night. And, you know, you take 90 degrees during the day and it gets into, what, 60s, 40s, 50s of a night. And, it, you know, great football season, great campfire season. But those calves that start out, you can hear in the back of the barn that's bawling around. You know, those things are breathing and sucking that air at night. And it's not good for them. So
you don't want to hear one hacking and coughing.
No. October's the month, I think. I think any pharmaceutical company probably makes their most money.
Oh my God!
It's just one of those things. And
well, you got so we've had some bulls come through. Now we've got some cows that come through.
Yeah.
Talk about your schedule and stuff and what you do here at Little York.
So here at Little York, we primarily are a feeder calf market. We do have some fed cattle. Not as big a fed cattle region here in southern Indiana, the central Indiana, as what maybe eastern Indiana or western Indiana is, just because we got a lot of cow-calf producers around here. I think on statistics, Washington County, which is the county we're barely in right now, and Lawrence County there to the north of us, it's the top two cow-calf producing counties in the state of Indiana. So we get a lot of cows and calves that are produced in this area, which in turn made perfect sense to build the stockyards here back when we did in 2001, I believe it was.
Wow.
When we opened up. Yeah, it's been here since 2001. We sell our fed cattle first. Get those cows in here, get them things started in here about 10 o'clock. We sold probably, I think, 25 of those this morning. They topped out at 239, I think, was the top on those. And we didn't have the best quality, but we had some pretty decent ones. And then, you know, like I say, the 239 would have been the top there today. Then we moved into the feeder cattle. Not sure how many of those we had, 170 or 80 of those, I believe. Ran through those in a pretty fast time. We do sell some sheep and hogs. We don't get too many of those. Most of them are just county fair hogs or something like that, or maybe a few sows and boars here and there. But we're starting a new trend where we're getting ready to start more hog sales here, but we haven't got that all worked out yet. We do have, like I say, we just watched the bulls. If we had cows and calves or some bred cows, we would have sold those right before the bulls. So we did not have none of those today. But then we finish up right here with the slaughter cows. And then once that's over, we'll get back into the back of the barn and do some paperwork checks to make sure everything's in the right pen and start loading trucks. And then from then on, the rest of the week, we work on maintenance in the barn, cleaning the barn, and going out and trying to find more people for next week. Next week's our wean preconditioned sale. That's the first Tuesday of every month. We do a wean preconditioned sale. With that sale, we encourage all of our locals to bring in their calves that have been weaned and vaccinated or anything and come into that sale. And the reason we promote that sale and the reason we think that's one of our biggest sales is just solely on because we can get more buyers in here with the more numbers we have. So it's a numbers game.
And they know why they're coming.
And they know why they're here. So, like, today we run 315 or 20 head through here today is what we're going to total up to. Pretty good day for just an average summer run for where we're at. Next week I predict that we'll run 500 to 600 the first October. And we have had many as 1,000 the first of October. So, like I say, I don't know those big numbers that's coming in, but I do know of probably about 400 and some feeders that's probably going to be here for that sale. And like I say, we get buyers from all over the state.
Wow.
We get buyers from other states that come in for that deal. It's just they're kind of making an entertaining event. We got a good cafeteria over here where we serve breakfast and lunch and stuff like that. Try to make it through on a snappy sale and get everybody in and out and get your cattle loaded and get them home before you get started. So
it's on your preconditioned calves. What's the definition of what you're calling preconditioned? Is this weaned and vaccinated and bunk broke?
So there's lots of different terms of preconditioned calves that you can go by. Our sale is just anything that's weaned and had shots. Now there's certain types of it. Like we do promote a VAC 45. The VAC 45 means they're vaccinated and they're weaned 45 days.
Hmm.
That's vaccinated two times with a modified live. A blackleg, dewormed, maybe a mineral shot or something like that, but a vitamin shot. Then we also do a VAC 60. The buyers want you to take as much risk as you can.
Yeah.
So a VAC 60 calf is worth more than a VAC 45 calf. A VAC 90 calf is worth more than a VAC 60 calf. So, you know, it's just one of those things that how long you want to wean your calves and how long you want them to be out on the your farm, how much feed you got, how much resources do you have to keep those things. Now the big difference is whenever we do that is in Southern Indiana we don't have a lot of veterinarians that come to the farm.
Yeah.
So with that being said, we do sell a lot of bull calves. So bull calves, some farmers we do have that wean their calves. They don't have a chute to vaccinate their calves. So we can sell wean vaccinated bull calves. We don't encourage it. But that's one more thing that a farmer might not have to worry about. He might not care that he has to, you know, castrate that bull calf because it's weaned. So we kind of leave it wide open, to be honest about it. The one thing that we obviously, I guess no one would encourage was to not wean and vaccinate and castrate your calves. But we're in Southern Indiana. The veterinarian staff is shorted. There's a shortage. We have a lot of old farmers. We get a lot of bull calves. That's just the bottom line.
I asked Jeff that when we got here. I was like,
yeah,
how come we're seeing 300 and 400 and 500 pound bulls?
Yeah, and like I say, there's farmers come in with, you know, bulls weighing 600-700 pounds. It's just the way that's the way that they've always done it.
Yeah.
And you know how it is. It's kind of like some of the row crop guys that talk about putting fungicide on and stuff. Well, we've never done it, so why would we do it?
Yeah.
Change comes hard.
Yeah. And so this year I was teasing a few guys. I said, you gonna put fungicide on? They said, well, we don't have enough room to store our corn anyway, so I guess we're not going to put it on. So, you know, like, and so that it's funny to us sitting here, like, yeah, you know, and the people listening
practical
on here,
yeah,
but that's a practical exercise.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, as a cow buyer or a feeder calf buyer, a practical exercise is to wean, vaccinate, castrate your calves.
Yeah.
So it's the same scenario. You know, like, we're sitting here thinking, golly, look at all the money you just left on the table. And that guy's sitting there thinking, I don't need it.
Yeah.
I'm used to getting X amount of dollars for my calves. Why do I need to do the extra to get more money?
Yeah.
That's
pretty good.
So it's kind of funny, but, you know, we're seeing a lot of lighter weight calves come through. I noticed when you guys probably got here on the last 45
yeah,
or 50 head that sold, you've seen a lot of lightweight calves. You didn't see any 7-8 weight yearling steers or nothing like that. So, and we did have a few today, but not many. Most of those actually come next week. But, you know, a lot of our, I'd say our average calf weights probably this year is hitting that 4 to 410, 420. Calves should be bigger than that. There's a really nice cow in
that
the ring right
nice
now.
One.
That would be a Maine cross cow back in.
I was gonna say, looks
Jeff,
like
back
a show
in, but yeah, in our days there, that's the old show cow.
Yeah,
that's what you would almost call a perfect lean cow. She's bringing $1.168. She'll probably be one of the top cows that sell today at 1,500 pounds. So that there was just a good lean cow. She wasn't fat. She had good muscle shape to her, and really nice cow. But it is, you know, like you say, I tease people about the wean sale. You know, if you want to make money, do the extras. And I've been doing this wean sale. I kind of put it on as something that I could do outside the box for my job to get more numbers in here.
Yeah.
Because I'll just be honest, 10 to 12 years ago, this market was 10 or 12 years old, but we was losing numbers. We wasn't getting a lot of numbers in here. And we tried to figure out some way to do it to where we'd get them in here. And then we'd have, I got to noticing that we'd have farmers come in here and they would, you know, every week would have big groups of weaned cattle. And I said, you know what, if I could combine these all into 1 week or 2 weeks or something, maybe I could really do something. And it's just stuck on. Like most of the farmers know around here, you know, you come to Little York the first Tuesday of the month for the wean sale and sell your calves and they're going to be good. And that market there is as strong as there is anywhere in the country for that week. So, you know, it's pretty.
Do your buyers get a, they start trying to pick out, okay, hey, I know this seller's got good calves. I bought his group in the past.
Yeah. And there's a lot of the farmers are what we call reputation branded. We kind of got some farmers that and local guys come in here that say, we want to do that. How do we get the money that guy got? How do we get the money that he got? And you know, so. Our screens up there, as you can see them, they're going to flash names up there, and they're going to flash. So the first thing you see on our screen up there on your right and left of the where the doors open and shut is the guy's name and the town he's from. So, you know, that screen up there may say South Sammy, Camelsburg, Indiana, right across it. And then it'll say what he's there, one cow, 1,300 pounds, and then what it is. So we do get a lot of farmers that come in, and they'll say, hey, we want that guy's cow. You know, we want all his cows. Hey, we want that guy, all his heifers. Because there is guys that come in and they have fed those cattle, farmer feeders. They have fed those cattle. They work with those cattle. They know inside and out the goods and the bads of them. And they come to town just to buy those calves. And so that gets us into another thing I want to talk about is seasonal selling. Seasonal selling used to be you sold, your run started in October or November. That was your big run, and then you went into April, May. That was your big run, you know. Like now, the way the market is, and as high as it is, that market is year round. You know, we're sitting on all time highs.
Yeah,
these prices are just unbelievable. It's fantastic. If you're in the cattle business and not making money, you probably need to get out. Because, I mean, like it doesn't make sense. But you know, Just the amount of time it takes to do this is, you know, it's not like that you can put your corn in a bin and sit there and then next winter next summer you're going to load it out.
Yeah.
These here, you're going to have to go out in the snow and feed them. But, you know, for the difference of what it's worth, I mean, like I say, it's 60 loads of corn versus one load of feeder calves. I mean, golly, that's a lot, you know, because it takes a lot of ground to make that 60 loads of corn.
Absolutely.
You know, but you know, and it's I'm sure it's going to at some point it's got to move, it's got to go down. Actually, if you call the trend today, I get a kick. The guy called me this morning. He said, he goes, when's the market gonna go down? I said, well, it's been going down. He said, well, what do you mean it's been going down? I said, well, it's been going down since it's $25 a hundred less today than what it was a month ago. And he's like, no, it's not. I'm like, yeah, it is, easy. And he's like, well, how much more is it going to go down? I need to sell my cows.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I'm like, no, you don't need to sell your cows. You just need to follow the market. It's that time of year. People are going to start selling cows. It's the trend that people think, okay, it's October. I need to wean my calves. Yep. I need to sell my calves. It used to, and another trend we get in is taxes. You know, in November, was it November and your taxes are due or something, just your fall taxes?
Yeah.
Like, yes. And then April, obviously. So, like, the week before, there'll be a bunch. You'll notice certain names. You said, you know, noticing people's cattle, you know, because that's what they know. But, you know, here you go again, back to my statement about putting the fungicide on the corn. People are used to selling a calf for $800 to $1,500. So if that calf, which a baby calf could bring $1,200. So they're just like, okay, well, I'm going to get my $800 for my calf. So I'm just going to sell it now.
Yeah.
So they may have already sold versus when they're going to sell, when they typically sell. So there's, the trends are, like, I think the trends are kind of out the window of what there used to be as far as when you knew you was going to have big runs and not big runs. But, you know, there's still the people that obviously calve in the spring, calve in the fall, and you're going to get those cattle in and stuff like that. But the guys that kind of calve year round and don't have really know what I would call a set program. Those cattle there, you're just going to get them randomly whenever they feel like catching them. Mm.
Yeah, I think these kind of prices will make trade flows kind of adjust and start some new trends, maybe.
Right. So, you know, as we're sitting here watching the sale in different shapes and sizes, like this cow here that's in the ring as we're talking, she's a good thinner type cow. She's got a limp to
got
her.
A little limp to
limp
her.
To her, but she's still a good cow. Just because she's limping doesn't mean she's worth less as far as her condition or what she's going to make as she hangs on the rail and we look at her carcass grade and everything like that. The only problem that we look at on the herd with her limp is, can she ride in the truck with 10 other cows in the same cut or 7 cows, whatever's in that compartment of that truck, and ride for, like you said, Sal, 7-8 hours. You know, so that's one thing that we got to take in consideration on these cows and bulls is, you know, do they...
A few years ago, a guy may have kept her and doctored that foot.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Now you look at the market going.
Well, that one guy told me last week, he said, if that thing looks at me wrong, it's going to town. I'm like, hey, I don't blame you, man. I got a cow at home that's one of my kids' pets. And little do they know until they listen to this podcast, which I'll have her sold before this podcast comes out, I promise you. But she's going to town.
It's not a micro cow.
Yeah,
huh? Not a micro cow.
No, it is not. It is not. I'm telling you, my little micro cows I told you about a few times ago, man, I wouldn't trade them things for nothing. Yeah. They might actually have to die on the farm. But actually, I sold the calves. I think whenever those calves was born, I was on the podcast with you guys. And so I sold those calves. They had those two micro cows and two heifer calves. The calves brung $1,785 a piece.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's crazy,
that's,
you know,
funny.
Just crazy.
Well, everything's been coming in, been pretty calm. We've only seen one cow kind of get fired up.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you probably have seen a couple of wrecks or something kind of western in here.
Yeah, what's the craziest
what's your
story?
Best
we'll wrap up with the craziest story.
Oh, yeah.
Story.
So, like, these the crazy stories, man, I tell you. So, you notice the ring's about 8 foot tall.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes up on those cables. So we have had cows that's about similar to the ones that's coming through here get almost over that.
Oh my God.
And of course you see the guy in the ring there, little Fred, he you know, he's not a tall person very much anyway, and that gate kind of comes up there to his chin. So if you can imagine a cow that is, you know, way bigger and heavier than this, that weighs 1,600-1,700 pounds, trying to jump over that, and you think, wow, that cable is just held on by a little turnbuckle and a couple of screws and clamps.
Did it get their front legs over?
Yeah, it had his front legs over and was hanging under its armpits there.
Oh my God.
And the funny thing was there was a lady and a guy that was, I'm going to say 70 years old, sitting on the front two seats down there, and they had their grandchildren with them. And then there was no one behind him, and there wasn't maybe no one right here, but over here. And they never moved. Never,
never moved.
Never moved. Never moved.
Did they not think?
The kids just said, looked up, you know, and all that stuff.
God.
I don't know if they was in shock or what, but like, because I was working the ring, and I was like, man, I got to get this thing out of here. I was hitting the door, you know, and then it turns around, obviously wants to run the other way. So then I'm thinking, all right, well, that scales is about, you know, 25, 30 foot long. So I'm thinking, in 30 feet, you can get enough momentum. If she got that far,
yeah,
she might clear the other side. And
oh
so, like,
God.
She runs and just runs smack into the other side, you know, and then runs out the door. But, I mean, it's just amazing how these things can get all just wound up and tore up over something. That's,
yeah.
That, you know, and so we use that flag to move them around that he's using right now. And just kind of move them around, get them. We get the buyers want to see all sides of them in case there's maybe some cancer in there, or lymph nodes swelled up, just the way they move, the way they act, if they're sick. They may be sold up from a calving birth or something like that. So use that flag. Well, some of those animals just get plumb tore up over that flag. I mean, they get wound tight.
Huh.
And so, like, it's just, it's one of those things. They'll come. And the biggest story I can tell you is every farmer comes in and says, "Oh, this thing's fine. It won't hurt you."
Yeah.
And that's the one that'll get you.
That's the one.
The one that will absolutely tear the barn apart.
He's got a dog at home that won't bite you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, that's
it is something else. Because yesterday, it's funny. First bull we unloaded yesterday, the guy comes in and he says, everybody kind of looked at each other because it just stood at the back of the trailer. And one of the guys said, get in there and get it. And the farmer goes, let me get in there and get it. He's a pet. And I said, you just stay back here with me. He goes, no, let me get it. And I was kind of, I was playing defense. You know, he's like pushing on my back and I'm holding him back. I'm like, listen, dude, you're on my turf now. We're not getting in there. You know, like, he's like, oh, he's fine. Just smack him a little bit. He'll go. I said, yeah. You know, I'll go over the fence or under the fence or in an ambulance somewhere, you know, like, and he was fine. He just didn't know where he was at. You know, it's a new place, new smell. And that's where we get into a lot of trouble on these. But we do get them coming in where the farmer says, hey, we've been trying to catch this thing for 5 years,
you know,
and it shows because they are.
They've never seen a person.
But that's where, so I got a staff that works for me. I got about 12, 13 people, I guess, that really works for me all the way around. And when we do handle those high-risk animals, it's a teamwork.
Yeah.
I mean, we do take it very serious.
Keep everybody safe.
Yeah, because, you know, the worst stories you hear is whenever someone didn't get to make it home at night.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't think about it much at a sale barn, but I mean, that, you know, the cows don't tell you, hey, we're getting ready to attack you, you know.
No.
They just come right, you know, and could be as gentle as one as ever, but turn her head and she'll be on top of you in a second. So
yep.
Just one of those things that you don't think much about, but it happens.
Well, I'll tell you, that's probably about as good a cow that jumps an 8-foot fence. That's probably about as good place as any to end, isn't it?
I'd say so.
Well, this has been pretty good. It's the first for us being out in the field. I know we just kind of did this, and we've never done it before, but if it works out pretty good, we may do some other shots.
Yeah, this is fun. Yeah.
Tom Bynes or whatever. So
yeah, I think it'd be great for you guys. I'd love to see kind of the other stuff you guys do too.
Yeah.
I know you watched it. I watched it. For me, you guys probably know more about it, but whenever I listen to the podcast, I'm driving down the road or something, and, you know, it'd kind of be neat to kind of see some of the
stuff.
See
some of that,
you know, it's just like probably like this to some of the grain farmers. They don't know a lot about the livestock part of it, but, you know, on some of the stuff that they do, I'm like, wonder how they did that, or like, wonder what this contraption looks like that they're talking about. So yeah, I'm all for you guys to do it like that.
Well, some people need to come in here and grab breakfast, watch the sale.
Yeah, we encourage people to come. We're open, I mean, pretty much every Tuesday, unless it's the 4th of July or Christmas falls on a Tuesday. We're pretty much open every other time besides that. So, you know, like, come in here and eat breakfast on Tuesday mornings. The lady does a great job in there. Biscuits, gravy, pancakes, whatever you want, she'll fix it. And then we usually have a lunch special on Tuesday. So, you know, like I said, you don't have to have chows to come here. You can just come visit. We get some people come that every year they come up deer hunting, actually from Arkansas.
Really?
And they'll come in here usually in the month of November, and they just need a place to hang out where they're, I guess, not going to lose their scent.
Yeah.
You know, so they're like, oh, well, we'll just go hang out at the stockyard because we'll smell like cow manure, and then we'll go back to our tree stand and we're good. So
that's hilarious.
They're up here for 2 weeks, and they just come and eat, hang out, shoot the crap. They don't know a thing about cows, but they think it's funny to sit here and watch us smack them around. And then, you know, because they're coming out of the woods at 10 o'clock when we start, and then usually by 2 or 3 or 4 when we're done, you know, they're going back to the woods. So they think it's the greatest thing in the world.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's we better wrap it up. Ryan, thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad you guys came.
All right, well, this is a subject that Jeff's he's the cattleman of us, so this will be a good topic for him to he can show his grandkids.
Absolutely. I should have brought them.
All right. Well, that's another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Thank you all very much.